Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. I'm joined in studio today by co-host Angela Lang, executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. And Angela just wrote a terrific piece for us at the Recombobulation Area, where she has been a regular contributor for quite some time. The question she asks in the headline of this piece, and I think it's a question that a lot of us are asking as we turn the page from 2024 to 2025. The headline, where do we go from here? Yeah. So, Angela, give us all of the answers. Where do we go from here as we are in this like liminal space between the election and the inauguration, as we begin to turn the page and the end of the Biden presidency and the start of the Trump 2.0 years? So where do we go from here?
To be clear, I don't know. And I think what's funny too is when I'm writing, I don't always have a title in mind. I never have a title in mind, to be honest. And it's always like the last thing I do. I'll write whatever. And then I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I usually just
leave. And then we text back and forth about a headline.
I do a placeholder. And then I was like, Dan will help me work through this because all my creativity is dumped in in this piece.
Yeah.
And it was, where do we go? I just left that. And that was like the first thing that came to mind. But I think, a lot of us, I think, are still processing and trying to figure out, like, where do we go from here? And how this moment feels very different from 2016 in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. I think so many people in 2016 were so surprised and so jolted by the results of the election, by Donald Trump's victory, and just could not process the reality of it. And so people were just, sewing the hats and getting into the streets and like doing all of the things and being very vocal and writing a lot of very emotional Facebook posts and whatever it might be. But now it's a little bit different. I feel like people are maybe more turning inward now compared to 8 years ago, maybe doing some more, just things that taking care of their family and their friends and being with people and tuning out maybe a little bit, not from Civic Media. Of course, never from us. Never from the Recombobulation Area.
Never.
But I think people are more turning a little bit inward than 8 years ago. And I think you captured that a little bit in the piece, too.
Yeah. I mean, I that's my assessment, too. And it's like also me and how I've been responding to this moment. And I've said this for a while of like being a Black woman that does political work in a swing state is like not always a good time, shocker. And it's not always fun, and it's like very emotionally draining, and it feels, the reporters, when they're in town covering stuff, they're like, oh, do you feel the weight on your shoulders? And they say it joking, and I'm like, yeah, I do. It's not fun.
Thanks for the reminder.
And I'm like,
the weight on my shoulders.
Yeah. Thanks. And I joke around about it, but it's like real, at the same time. And so I think for me, and I talked about this a little bit, I danced very close to burnout so many times where I was like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I feel like I'm hitting my head against a wall and like nothing's changing, nothing's happening except like I am running myself into the ground, right? But we're still seeing the environments, and it didn't feel that material conditions were changing. And I think a lot of my organizer friends across the country are like, I'm focused on living my life too. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we find joy in the midst of impending fascism? How are we taking care of our folks and protecting folks? So I think there was a lot of reflection turning inward of how can people also use their own allyship and their own privilege to show up for communities that may be targeted. And I think that's what we need. And conversely, there's a lot of feelings and there's a lot of emotions and there's a lot of frustration. And I get that as someone who tries not to let it show, but I got a lot of anger sometimes, right? Like, but we can't show up in ways of saying, well, I told you so. Or I've seen, oddly enough, on TikTok, I've seen trans folks that say that they proudly supported Trump. So do they no longer need protecting when Trump comes for them, right? And that just because you vote for someone, you voted for Trump, that doesn't make you any less marginalized. It doesn't make you any, more safe from some of these attacks. And we can't filter through some of our own community members. Like, there's people, I'm sure, we all have cousins, family members. We all know somebody that maybe was misinformed, or we all know civics is not a thing. So people's like anger and frustration at whatever was happening in their day-to-day life was maybe taken out in an election that didn't really, you know, relate. How do we can't shame people for their lack of knowledge, understanding the rise in AI, the rise in mis and disinformation, how there's not really civics taught. So when people are frustrated at the government, they get mad at whoever they can see first. And sometimes that's the president when it's really your alderman. And so I think all of these things together kind of led to a perfect storm. And it is difficult. And I say this not trying to be some kumbaya, let's all just come together and hug it out. I'm not saying that in any way. Mm-hmm. But how do we protect folks in our community that are generally on our side, but maybe didn't show up the way we wanted them to?
Yeah. And I think that that's a point you spoke to in this piece, and I think is a really important one, where I've seen some of these posts out there, you know, about certain things, about, you know, whether it's like, oh, the tariffs are going to make prices go up, or there's going to be something about deportation, or there's going to be this, that, and the other. And it's just like, well, you get what you vote for, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's the approach to take now or ever, really. And I really, you know, people are very emotional about the election.
Yeah, it's tempting.
And it is very tempting like get into that. But for me, it always goes back to I think more of the blame should go on the institution instead of the individual.
Absolutely.
And I think that is where I often try to return to with these types of questions. And you wrote it really well in the piece. And I'm just going to quote you directly to you sitting across from you here in the studio. So you wrote, "To be clear, I'm not saying our organizing and resistance is primarily focused on recruiting Republicans to our causes. It didn't work in the campaign and won't work now. But all the same, we can't say I won't help you because that's what you get for voting for him. I'm not saying it will be easy or that everyone is ready to do that. But if we actually want to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone, that includes educating people in the true villains of this story, Trump, his allies, and the wealthy, not each other."
Yes.
That is such a good point. And I think that is, you know, as we turn this page on 2024, mm-hmm. look ahead to 2025, I think if people are going to take the approach of doing that, you get what you vote for, or blaming somebody or saying, I'm not going to help you because you are a Trump voter, that is a problem.
Yeah. And we risk losing those folks forever. And I think, you know, and I've talked to Ben about this, Ben Wickler, is that when Democrats lose, you have to find more ways to bring people in, right? Because your numbers are dwindling. You don't have the numbers to win. So that means you need to find more people to persuade to align with you, or maybe they are naturally aligned with you, right? And so if we are going to continue this, well, you get what you vote for, you are no longer welcome here, you're not actually adding more people to your strategy to try and actually win in the future. And we've said this before, it's like, you can't be condescending to voters. You know, there's so much going on and flying at the same time. And as you said, we can put all of that on kind of like a broader concept of voter suppression and how that is impacted and that's received. And being able to take some time to be patient with folks, because like there are folks that were like, well, I felt like my life was better because I had those stimulus checks, or I had, you know, mm-hmm. the pandemic checks. And then when you tell them Trump didn't want those, he only wanted them later so he can put his name on them. It also was an act of Congress and he didn't want it at first. People don't know these things. You're working multiple jobs. You're picking up kids. You're taking care of your elderly parents or grandparents. You don't know some of those things that are in the weed, and they're doing the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about that population of folks. I'm not talking about the people that like willfully know and are just choosing to not believe facts. That's a different group of people. And I think they should be treated in a different way. But that doesn't mean we don't have these conversations of how do we build a multiracial democracy with all of these perspectives. Because at the end of the day, there is some sort of values that we all align with, mm-hmm. whether that's family, being a Wisconsinite, what that means, whatever. And I think we need to do the very hard work of figuring out what that center of that Venn diagram is. And it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I think if Democrats are and should be wanting to be the big tent party to bring in a lot of different voices, you can't make decisions and shame people and make that tent smaller.
Right.
Right. You can't kick people out of the tent just because they did something a certain way. And I think when you're talking about, you know, people who are not in the weeds in politics and this kind of stuff, who are not living the day to day, who are not hosting civic media,
talking about it for 2 hours,
whatever it is, right? what those of us in the political science dork community will call the low propensity voters, people who don't necessarily vote in every election, vote for their common council rep or
their
vote
high
for
opportunity,
state assembly. High opportunity. Yeah, that's another way to put it. And I think, you know, Trump made a lot of overtures to that particular community, and I think there are a number of, you know, news stories that broke through, whether it was the debate against Biden or I think, you know, the assassination attempt too. If you're only paying attention to politics very occasionally, you still definitely saw that.
Like a normal person.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a normal person, not lunatics like
not
us.
Like us.
Yeah, exactly. and so I think that, you know, that I think is what Republicans were really trying, and Trump specifically, not, I think, old school Republicans really didn't really do that kind of work.
Right.
But I think Trump specifically is reaching out to those low propensity voters, trying to make the Republican Party a bigger tent. You know, they never actually govern like that.
No,
you know,
not at all. So they make it clear. We just want your vote. I don't want anything else. I think Donald Trump actually said that at some point. Yeah. I just want your vote.
It sounds like something he would say.
I think he said it on a speech, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that is an important part of all of this, and recognizing, you know, the keeping people in the big tent and welcoming people in, and you're not going to be welcoming people in to build a multiracial democracy that works for everyone, like you said in the piece, if you're saying, I'm not going to help you because you voted for somebody else.
Yeah, no.
And I think, you know, whether it's the type of policies that are, I don't know, universal healthcare increasing education funding or bringing things like in Minnesota, what Tim Walz did with the universal school lunches.
Yep.
We shouldn't have those types of policies that like only if you voted for Biden, only if you voted for Harris.
Yeah.
You know, it should be a universal type of thing. And I think that is so many of the policies of the Democratic Party that they should be type advancing that, you know, we can do better for everyone, and not pick and choose and not cater to wealthy elites like the Republican Party does.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is that like we weren't born with the level of analysis that we have today, right? Like no one ever was born like out the womb, these are my values and analysis. We've grown, we've seen things, we've been involved to have this particular analysis. And my job as an organizer is to get other people to do that. There's a lot of education in my job as an organizer to bring people along. And we always talk about you got to meet people where they're at and then you bring them along. Well, what if where people are at is that they made a mistake and voted for Trump because they were ill-informed? Then like all these things that we talk about in the awful election season, like meeting people where they're at, sometimes where they're at is actually very uncomfortable. But if we're going to do that, that's what we actually need to do. And I think it's interesting how people are talking about folks like on the general same side, whether it's left, Dem, whatever, right? Anyone generally on that side, kind of trying to do this thing where we're eating our own, like you're not good enough to be a part of whatever is next or this or that. When that's literally what they want us to do. That's literally what white supremacy and fascism does, is like while they're over here controlling and making our lives difficult, instead of us coming together, we're all on a sinking ship. And it's sinking. There's a hole. And instead of plugging the hole, we're blaming other people instead of actually trying to get out of the situation. And meanwhile, white supremacy and fascism is thriving.
Yeah. It's divide and conquer. Like
exactly.
You said. It's divide and conquer. It's not looking to solve any problems, address any of the
classic
major issues.
Playbook.
It is divide and conquer. Absolutely. We're here with Angela Lang here, guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show. The piece that we are talking about is one that Angela wrote. And we published today at the Recombobulation Area. The headline is, Where Do We Go From Here? And so we're going to continue talking about this after the break here. But I would encourage you all to go check it out. Take a look at the piece, Where Do We Go From Here? Written by Angela Lang. She is the Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. She is also the co-host of this very program this afternoon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. So stick with us. We're going to be continuing to talk about that piece. If you have thoughts on it, if you have thoughts on where we go from here,
love
more
hear
generally,
it.
We'd love to hear it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we will be right back. Stick with us here on the Civic Media Network.
Just the two of us. We can make